my name is Andrew, and you're listening to Better Half Chats, a dialogue between a seminary graduate, myself, and my very candid wife, Bethany. Today we will be talking about Proverbs 1:20-33. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Well, thank you for joining us today on Better Half Chats. We're really glad that you decided to listen into our second season. This is our second season. We did one last year, and because my wife and I thought it would be a good idea, and we thought it would be nice to kind of share our thoughts publicly and give people a little bit of a forum to discuss some things that they may not otherwise discuss. Last season we did kind of just a random sampling of Bible verses that we thought were particularly interesting. And as I was deciding on what to do for this season, I thought it might be cool to do kind of a whole season themed on one idea or one biblical subject. And I chose the subject of wisdom because I feel like a lot of people just don't really know what it is. And I've sort of struggled through what is wisdom and how do you gain it and what does that mean for us?
So as I was trying to decide what wisdom means for this passage, I had this weird moment where I was like, what do words mean and how do we determine definitions? And I was like, kind of shaken up about how wrong our definitions can be with just how they're formed. Like, you kind of have a definition of a word and then it gets shaped as you see it used or as you use it or as you read and see it in books. And I was kind of scared by how many of my words are probably shaped by the way I see them used on Facebook, which is probably not the best place to shape definitions of words because they are used very improperly. But it kind of gave me this whole, oh my goodness, I want my words to be shaped and the way I understand words and the way I understand life to be shaped more on the Bible or really intelligent literature, and not Facebook and TV. So, that being said, my definition of wisdom up to this point and being shaped off of things I've read and seen and heard in culture is that wisdom is the passing of times and the attainment of new facts, like learning things. And so I felt like it had to be like an older person who spent their life learning with someone who was wise. And reading this passage, I think that is not at all what it means, but I just wanted to know, what did you feel like wisdom was based on how that word is shaped in your life?
I feel like I've thought of wisdom in the same way that you have before, that it's kind of just learning through the passage of time. But then you hear about people who are, you know, wise beyond their years and things like that. And what does that mean? And obviously it's not always just you have to be really old with a head full of gray hair.
Yeah, but it's interesting that they define someone who's wise beyond their years, like as if wisdom comes with years. you know?
Right.
But like that is kind of another one of those things that shapes our thought, that wisdom comes with age.
This is true. This is true. So I guess that's kind of, you know, a foundational way that we think about it. I don't know, but I, as I've been thinking about it and, just through, you know, some studying and reading on some, like some of the wisdom literature when I was in school and things like that, my thoughts about wisdom sort of began to change a little bit. And, I realized that it's really just, and this is the definition that I sort of came up with. You could debate this or whatever, but I thought of it as doing the right thing at the right time in the right way. And that's different than the origin of wisdom. I feel like sometimes, if we read this passage that we talked about today, and if you read some of the other introductory chapters of Proverbs, you can sort of come away with the idea that Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom, which is certainly true in a sense, but it's also Jesus. If you think of it that way, you might sort of begin to conflate the two ideas too much. So I feel like the origin of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, which you see a lot in the book of Proverbs. But that origin of wisdom is different than what wisdom actually is, which is like what I said before. I think doing the right thing at the right time in the right way.
Yeah, as I was reading this passage, I started to ask myself, wait, is wisdom Christ? Like, is Jesus wisdom? Is that the point? Like, is that the way I should be shaping my definition of wisdom? So I like the way you kind of brought it from that's where we get wisdom, but they're not the same. Because if we take that, then it all gets kind of confusing when Lady Wisdom is really mean later. It kind of gets confusing. But the rare I got that definition is from verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It kind of seems like, they're definitely putting together like knowledge and the fear of the Lord together. Like wisdom comes from the Lord. And then later in verse 33, there's the promises of he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. I guess right here they're talking about he who listens to Lady Wisdom. Is that me there?
Yes.
So he who listens to Lady Wisdom shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil, which that promise sounds a lot to me like promises that are wrapped up in believing in Jesus. And so I definitely went that way with that too. I think it's dangerous to feel like wisdom can save us from evil. You know, there's only one thing that can save us from evil. So, but based on those two passages, 29 and 33, I definitely got the feeling that, okay, my definition of wisdom needs to be more shaped around Christ than just knowing things and living a long life. So I was kind of trying to make sense of that. And then as I was reading this too, I was also struck by the different people that they describe. So let's see, there's scoffers, there's fools, there's simple-minded.
Yeah, I feel like that the idea of fools or the scoffers or the simple-minded, I feel like those three are all one and the same, in that that's sort of a theme all throughout Proverbs, is that you have, you know, there's Lady Wisdom and there's Lady Folly, and then there's those who follow after them who are just two separate categories.
I don't know. They seem like they're reacting different to wisdom. I feel like I can associate with the group more than the other. I mean, you have the naive who feel like they know everything and they're just kind of happy with their simple idea of the world. And then you have the scoffers who, you know, we all know someone we can put in the scoffer category who learns and then likes to argue or fight back or whatever. And then the fools who, I feel like I could relate to that category, who we know there's more out there and there's more to know, but we're lazy about it and would rather just take the ignorance as bliss route. So I don't know. I feel like I can relate to one and not the other, or I can like see people in different ones. I feel like they're all different.
I think that it's just that the followers of Christ are wise, and if you don't follow Christ, then you're a fool.
So if it's that easy, then I accept Jesus and I'm wise. That seems a little too, I mean, I guess I'm wise. I'm out of the fool category. Done.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's that simple, though. I feel like this kind of just comes down to the difference between where, as Christians, we're regenerated. So our hearts are changed initially. And then there's this whole process of sanctification where we grow closer to Christ and we become more and more like Christ. In the same way that a baby is born, and a baby obviously doesn't have, you know, all the skills and can't do all the things that an adult can do, I feel like becoming a Christian is similar when you're, you know, quote unquote born again or regenerated or whatever word you want to use there. You're a baby, you know, you don't have any wisdom. Although I think you have the source of wisdom, and I think that wisdom is readily available to you. It does take some amount of time, and really sort of depends on your, you know, how much you're relying on Jesus and realizing how much you need him. I think that's in what's the word I'm looking for? Those have a correlation. They go together. When you grow in Christ and when you become more and more mature in Christ, you obtain more and more wisdom. And I think it brings up an interesting point about, you know, I said wisdom is readily available. I think that is really shown in these first few chapters of Proverbs. Even though we're just looking at a small chunk, you really should look through the whole first, I think it's 8 or 9 chapters, is just sort of an introduction to Proverbs. And then you get all the little, quippy sayings and witty little things that is in Proverbs. But in this whole first 9 chapters, I think that's right, there's this thing going on where it's talking about Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, and they're in the streets of the city, and they're calling out to anybody who will listen. Both of them are. And you continually see how Lady Wisdom initially is, you know, quote unquote, less attractive. But as you are invited in with Lady Wisdom, there's a feast, and there's all these good things that await you. And Lady Folly initially is really seductive and attractive and kind of sucks people in. And it even uses the example of a young man who kind of gets brought into her house. And in the end, it says that all Lady Folly really has to offer you is stolen bread and water. Whereas with Lady Wisdom, you have a feast, and you have, you know, good meat, and you have wine, and you have all of these really cool things that Lady Wisdom has to offer you. And both of them are readily available, but Lady Folly, I guess, is the sort of the easy way out. It looks better at the beginning, but in the end, it leads to your destruction.
I'm still kind of stuck on how this all ties into sanctification. I feel like it's making it really complicated. Like, I'm just picturing, like, okay, you accept Christ, and then you get dropped into this, like, video game world where you have to make sure you go find all the certain packages. And I got to go get the righteous package, and I got to get the holiness package, and I got to get the wisdom package. I got to make sure I got all the things that are readily available, but not automatic. It just, like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think that the question that you're really asking is what? Well, let me say this first. So there's this idea that things are, when we accept Christ, that there are certain characteristics that are imputed to us, and imputed just meaning they're sort of put on us, like God identifies us with these things, and one of those things being God's righteousness. That, you know, the Bible actually says that when Jesus you know, changes our heart, that we're actually dressed in his righteousness, and all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness goes away, and God sees us as somebody who's righteous. So I think we have to make a distinction between those things that are imputed, like the righteousness, Whereas some things may be more things that we gain through becoming more and more of a disciple, becoming more and more sanctified.
Can we talk about verse 24 through 28? Like, Lady Wisdom is not nice. She said, first she said, I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel. Okay, I get it. And did not want my reproof. Like, okay, you're mad. I get it. But then she goes on to say, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Like, what is up with this version of Lady Wisdom being so, like, lacking mercy here?
It's pretty harsh. I mean, when I first thought about that, I thought, well, it's kind of like being a parent. When you tell your 2-year-old to, not...
Well, this is fresh. This happened like 20 minutes ago.
Well, I'm not sure what example I'm going to use if it's directly related to today. But when you tell your 2-year-old to, let's say, not jump on the couch, and they do jump on the couch anyway, and they fall and they hit their head on the table, there's something in you as a parent that's like, well, told you so, you know, like, and you kind of laugh on the inside a little bit, which sounds terrible, but it's like, see, I told you that wasn't a good idea. And so I think somehow it's sort of related to that sort of feeling that you have as a parent, but it's also, I mean, obviously when you're, the analogy breaks down because when your kid is actually really suffering, like, you're obviously going to take care of them.
Yeah. We're not going to mock when their dread comes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I tend to think that what this is really talking about is that sort of chronic continued disobedience to the voice of wisdom over time.
I guess we're going to allow Lady Wisdom to be so merciless here. I don't know. Is that a word? Merciless?
Merciless, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to bring over to the New Testament, and I probably will do this for all of our wisdom podcasts just because I like when the Old Testament, we bring it back to the New Testament since that's the main point of the story, and I'm not a huge fan of the Old Testament, and so whenever I can see it mirrored...
It's the Bible.
I don't like it, okay? So whenever I can see it mirrored into the New Testament...
You're terrible.
I can like it a little more. So let's go to Romans 1, 22 through 23. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. I feel like we could also say exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of money and iPhones. But I mean, any image, anything that we idolize in our world, I feel like could be substituted there. But I kind of liked how that's more of a common day practical point to the whole wisdom thing is being wise in our day-to-day actions, like not substituting the image of God with other things, maybe even subconsciously, you know, but just... we can be wise. I don't know. What do you think? I feel like I'm making it sound too much like something that we do. It's all very confusing.
Well, I think this verse from the New Testament is a perfect complement to what we've been talking about and really makes sense with the whole idea of this, you know, the sort of the chronic disobedience and not listening to the voice of wisdom and how in verse 24, it says, therefore, so if they don't listen to God and they don't worship God, then eventually God gives them up to the lusts of their heart. And he just allows people to do, he allows people to do that if they want to do that. Because God knows that love is not a robotic thing. Love is not something that can be forced on anybody. It's a choice, and it's an act of the heart that only can be done if there's freedom to do otherwise. So I feel like that's relates really well back to why Lady Wisdom was so harsh. And it's because Lady Wisdom knows that she can't force you to do this. It's up to you. And if you continually decide you don't want it, then she'll just say, okay, that's what you chose. Thanks for joining us for episode 1 of season 2 of Better Half Chats. Don't forget to contact us at betterhalfchats@gmail.com or on Twitter @betterhalfchats to send us any questions or comments you might have.